looking at one of Jesus' parables that involves 10 virgins or 10 maidens, depending on what version you were looking at, who were waiting for the bridegroom to come. We saw in the parable that 5 of them were wise, and they were ready with oil in their lamps, although they dozed off there just before the bridegroom came. They still had plenty of oil to refill their lamps, to keep those lamps burning. The other 5 were foolish. They were not prepared. They had no oil to put in their lamps. So when the call came announcing the bridegroom is coming, then the 5 foolish wanted to borrow oil from the 5 wise, and they said, no, there may not be enough for both of us. So indicating that we can't get into heaven on somebody else's faith. It's all a personal thing. We've got to be ready ourselves. We can't ride in on mom and daddy's coattail or Sunday school teacher or anybody else. We got to be ready ourselves, and those 5 foolish were not. So the 5 foolish went to get oil, and when they came back, the bridegroom had already come and taken the 5 virgins, the 5 wise virgins in. And when the 5 foolish came back, the door was shut. It was too late. When they knocked on the door, the bridegroom told them to depart. He never knew them. A lot of people are going to be, are going to hear those words one day, because they're not ready. They've not made their preparation. And they're going to hear those sad words, depart from me, I never knew you. And so we need to be wise and be prepared. Many of them today, sitting on church pews around the world today, you're going to hear those sad words one day when Jesus returns. And they're going to spend eternity in a place called hell, a place of torment. Nobody wants to go there, but a lot of people are making plans to be there. Don't be one of them. Be sure you've accepted God's free gift of salvation so that you're ready. You've trusted Jesus to be your Savior, and because He's the only way. This morning I want to pick up there in the same scripture, Matthew chapter 25. We looked at the first 13 verses of the parable of the 10 virgins. We'll pick up there, and we're going to look at another parable, a parable of the talents this morning, looking at verses 14 through 30, where Jesus is talking about being faithful with what God has entrusted us with. Entitled the sermon this morning, What Have You Done with What God Has Given You? What have you done with what God has given you? He tells us the consequences that we'll enjoy when we're faithful, and the consequences we'll suffer when we're not faithful. And so we're going to look at this parable now and see what we can learn from it so that we can avoid those bad consequences of unfaithfulness. Look at that parable. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 25, beginning verse 14, and reading through verse 30. Jesus is speaking. He's teaching here. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability," or his individual ability, "and straightway took his journey. And he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and I gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or with interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here, what have you done with what God has given you? God has given everyone a talent. Now, in this particular parable, the talent was a monetary thing, but God has given us monetary things as well, but he's given us a talent, an ability, a calling he's placed on each and every one of our lives, and everyone has been given a talent to be used to glorify God. It matters not who you are. We have all been given a talent. We've all been called to serve God, and he has equipped us. He's given us what we need to do that. And we find that in 1 Corinthians one place. We find it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 4. He said, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So every one of us has been given a talent. Every one of us has been given a gift. There's no one that has not been given a gift. Okay, so we all have a gift. Not everyone has the same gift or the same talent. All of man's gifts and opportunities come from God. God's gifts and their corresponding responsibility are given to each one according to his ability. You remember back over in Matthew there, where we read there to begin with, in that the second verse we read, verse 15, it says, "And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability," or his individual ability. And straightway he took his journey. So, so God has given each of us a talent. He's blessed us with a talent, a gift, according to our ability. Now, not everyone's is equal in their abilities. Now, don't get hung up on that abilities, that individual ability, and get too hung up on that, because that's one of the things I tried to use, you know, when God called me, and I said, "God, I can't do that. And I can't preach." And some of you said, "Amen, brother." But God is not looking for our abilities. He's looking for our availability. And he calls us to do things that we within ourselves are not able to do. Because if it's something that we can do on our own, then we get boastful and build up about it. And we wind up trying to take all the credit instead of giving God the credit. But God's the one that gives us the ability. And so here he said he gave the talents according to each the ability. That ability is the ability that God gives us. It's not the ability that we have on our own. Of course, we have nothing on our own, right? We don't have anything except what God gave us. We, you know, God is the one that created us. He created us in his own likeness, his own image, you know, and he equips us for what he calls us to do. And so, and depending on the ability that he gives us, then he gives us that talent or that gift according to that, to do something, a certain thing that he wants us to do. So, God gives us not everyone the same, same talent, the same gift, but he gives us a gift according to what he's equipped us to do, what he's prepared us to do, and he can enable us to do whatever it is that he wants us to do. So it's not the amount of the gift that's important, but one's faithfulness to the use of it. So whatever your gift is, no matter how great or small we may think it is, the size of the gift, in our opinion, is not the important thing, but the thing that's important is whether or not we're faithful to use that he has given us. Take care of the talent God's given you. Be faithful with it. Don't try to tell everyone else how to use the ability God's given them. It's amazing how many people know how another person ought to be using their talent. They don't know how to use their own, you know. It's amazing how many people can tell the teacher how they ought to be teaching, but they're not doing what God's called them to do. They can tell the preacher how to preach. They can tell the pastor how to pastor. A lot of people think they've been given that talent to tell somebody else how to use their talent. Well, that's not what God does. God gives you a talent for you to use, and that's what we need to concern ourselves with, is the talent he has given us, and use it, be faithful in that, and don't try to be responsible for everybody else and the talent that they've been given. Don't try to tell everybody else how to use their talent, because we're not all given the same talent. But no matter what the talent is, every talent is important. God don't give anybody any talents, any gifts that are unimportant. They're all important. Every one of them is important. We find that again there in, back over there in 1 Corinthians. It's explained pretty clearly where Paul uses the physical body to relate to the church, the spiritual body. Okay? The church, those that are genuine believers who have trusted Jesus to be Savior and let Him come Lord of their life, are a part of Christ's church. The body of Christ, the bride of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. And so the bride of Christ, the church, is made up of many, many different members, just like this body is made up of a lot of members. There's a lot of different members in this body. Every one of them is important. There's not one that's not important. And that's what Paul explains there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, again, beginning verse number 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that are one body, being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized in one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not the one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? So, and Paul goes on. I won't read all that. You can read it. It's there in the remaining part of chapter 12, verse Corinthians. But he talks about the importance of, not only the importance of the body, but the importance of every member of the body. We're talking about talents or gifts that God has given us. Every one of us as a member of the body of Christ has a particular calling, a particular gift, a particular talent that God has given us to enhance the body of Christ. And the only way for the body of Christ to function properly and to function at its full ability, every member of that body, no matter what that member might be, has to function 100%. Okay? So we can understand that when we think about our body. You know, I got some knees that are not, you know, they're not playing their part right now. You know, they want to be real ill and they kind of want to tell the rest of the body what it ought to be doing. And a lot of times the rest of the body listens to it because, you know, when those knees are not where they doing what they need to be doing, it affects the whole body, you know. Say, well, I'm just a little toe. Well, that little toe's pretty important. If you don't believe it, walk by the coffee table sometimes barefooted. And see if that little toe don't reach out and grab that leg of that coffee table. And all of a sudden, it will tell you, you need to sit down and cry for a little bit. You know, and hold on and pray that it quits hurting pretty quick. Because it affects your whole body. That's the way we do the body of Christ. When we're not functioning like we need to be functioning, when we're not doing what God's called us to do, we affect the rest of the body of Christ. It hinders the body of Christ when we're not doing what we ought to be doing. So, what are we doing with what God has given us? You know, that's the question. So, there are no unimportant body parts, and there are no unimportant talents or gifts that God has given us. We're all, and every one of us has one. You say, well, a lot of people say, well, preacher, I just don't know what God's called me to do. You know, I don't know. I said, well, talk to Him. Spend time with Him. You know, He'll let you know. But you got to spend time with Him. Don't ask me what He's called you to do. Because He hadn't told me. He'll tell you what he's called you to do. But you need to talk to him. Because he's the one that's issuing those gifts. He's the one that's issuing those talents. Talk to him and find out what it is that he's called you to do. You know, so I can't preach, I can't teach, well, I understand there's a lot of other things need to be done for the church to function the way it needs to function. And when the body's not, when there are members of the body that's not functioning, it hinders, the body itself. So, a person will never really be faithful with what God has blessed him with until he learns to trust God completely. Now, what was the problem in this parable? The problem was a lack of trust, for one. You know, the one that was given five talents, he had no problem trusting the master who gave it him. He trusted him. He took those five talents and he went out and he earned him some more. The one who was given two, he trusted the master. He went out and he invested that. And he gained more. But there was one that didn't trust the master. There are a lot of people today who don't trust God. They don't trust him enough to believe his word. They don't trust him enough to believe the promises. You know, this book's full of promises. Promises of what, you know, just like the song we just sang, God will take care of you. Well, there's a lot of people that really don't believe that, you know. I was like, I got to do it on my own. You know, God ain't going to take care of me. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that he'll take care of you, but there are some qualifications, you know. There are some conditions, you know. We got to put our faith and trust in him, you know. The Bible says that you can ask whatever you want to, and it will be done. Say, well, I ain't seen that. Well, it's in there. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you will and it shall be done. So what are the conditions? We are abiding in him and his words are abiding in us, which means I'm trusting God. I am trusting him to work through me to accomplish what he's called me to accomplish. I'm trusting him. I'm being faithful to him. I am abiding in his word. I'm living obedient to his word. And his promise is I can ask whatever I want and it will be done. So if I'm trusting him and if I'm living according to his word, then what am I going to ask for? I'm going to ask for things that are going to bring him glory, that are going to bring him honor, because then I'm going to be blessed more and more. The more I do according to his word, the more I do for him, the more he's going to bless me. And so he'll take care of us. But we've got to trust him to do that. And so a person can never really be faithful. A person will never really genuinely live according to God's word until he's able to trust God completely. To believe that God is, in fact, who he says he is. He will, in fact, do everything he said he would do. And when we come to the place that we can believe that and put our faith in him and trust him to do that, then we will be able to be faithful to him. We'll be able to do the things that he's called us to do because we know that if we will do what he's called us to do, he will bless that. He'll bless us. He'll protect us. There are times when we're going to need his protection, when we're doing things that he's called us to do. Back during COVID, when I was called and asked if I was afraid of COVID, you know, No, I'm not afraid of COVID. Not because of who I am, but I'm some, you know, person that's so great that they don't have to be afraid of a disease. But I'm not afraid of COVID because I believe God's going to take care of me to do what He's called me to do. And so the question was, are you afraid of COVID? Would you come pray with my loved one who's dying in the hospital with COVID? Because my pastor won't come because he's afraid of COVID. And I said, absolutely, I'll come. You know? Did I do that just to be doing it? I did it because I believe and I know that as long as I'm doing what God's called me to do, He's going to take care of me. Now, if I'd have gone down there and got COVID, then does that mean God is not faithful? No. Then that means God wants to use me somehow with COVID, you know. What did Paul do? Paul spent more time in prison than he did out of prison. Never was in prison for anything he did wrong, but he was always in prison for what he did right, what he did for God. Well, why did God allow him to be in prison? Well, them folks in prison need to hear about Jesus too. And there's a lot of folks saved while they were in prison with Paul, because Paul was faithful to do what God had called him to do. So even when things look, we don't understand, there's a lot of times in this life we go through things that we don't understand. It just don't make sense. Why did God allow me to go through this? Well, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love Him and are the called according to His purpose. So if God allows us to go through it, He will take us through it. He will work His work if we'll be obedient and faithful to Him. Whether or not we understand what He's doing, He's working. He's got a plan. And we're right in the middle of His plan. So let's just hang on and keep being faithful. And enjoy the ride, you know, because God's doing something great and He's allowing us to be a part of it. So, be faithful. So, and there are blessings for those who are faithful with the talents God has blessed them with. Here in this parable, we find there how those who were faithful were rewarded. The one who was given 5 talents and was faithful to go out and gain 5 more, God rewarded him. He gave those to him, and not only did He give him those, He gave all that to him, and He gave him another one because of the unfaithful servant. So the one that had initially was given 5, he wound up with 11. That's over 100% profit. Pretty good profit, isn't it? Okay. Most of us would, if we could find a place we could invest and get 100% profit, we'd probably be right on board, wouldn't we? Probably so, whether or not you want to admit it or not. And so here, you know, they were rewarded. They were rewarded because they were faithful. Talents doubled and more. You know, concerning monetary gifts, we find in Malachi that if we're faithful with the finances, faithful with the tithe, and that God's entrusted us with, He'll bless it. He'll bless it. If you're not faithful with it, look out. You may lose what you got. You know, kind of like the one that had the 1 talent here. So we need to be faithful, be obedient to God's word. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, Jesus, speaking again, it's in those red letters, made this statement, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet or measure withal, it shall be measured to you again." So He says, give. When you give Him for the right purpose, you can't outgive God. He'll pour it back in faster than you can give it away. Isn't that what he said? Given, it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. More than we can even contain, the Bible says. So we give. So these, we see here that those that were faithful with what God gave them, they received at least double in return. But most important, and more important than the monetary gain that we think about, is the real reward that they received. Because what did the master say? Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. This is a picture of when Jesus comes back. That's what this parable is a picture of what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. And those that are faithful, those who have trusted Christ to be Savior and let Him come Lord of their life, those who have been faithful to use the talents that He has given them, the gifts that He's given them, those who have been faithful to serve Him are going to hear those words one day, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And so we see there, that's the reward that we want to see one day. Not just because they did good deeds, but because they had placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? Because again, we go back, a person is not going to be faithful until they learn to trust God. So if you can't trust God, you're not going to be faithful to Him. So those who were faithful had put their trust and faith in God, believing that He would in fact do what He said He would do. And those today who have put their faith and trust in Him and allowed Him to become Lord of their lives are going to hear those words one day. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. No one really wants to hear or suffer the consequence of unfaithfulness. We see that here as well with the one who received the one talent. Because he didn't trust God. He was afraid of Him. So he buried his talent in the ground. And that's true with a lot of people today. God has given them talents and He's placed a call on their life, but they don't trust Him. They don't believe that He's able to do what He says He will do. And so they refuse to use the talents. They refuse to use the gifts that God has given them, that God has blessed them with. And so they miss out on the blessings. Nowhere in the Bible will you find that God will bless your efforts if you ignore God and do it your own way. But that's what so many people want to do. They just want to do it their own way. You know, I'm going to do it my way and then ask God to bless our mess. That's what so many times we do. We will go out there and do it like we want to do it and then ask God to bless it. That's not the way it works. We need to do it the way He wants it done and He will bless it. Okay, so there are a lot of people that are depriving themselves of many, many blessings because they refuse to trust God. So what was the end result? The end result was the man lost the talent that God had given him, first of all. That was taken away from him. So he had nothing. But the worst part, a lot more important again than the monetary thing, the worst part was hearing the words, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other places in the Bible we hear those words, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. A lot of people are going to hear those words and they're not going to like it. But it's kind of like those five foolish virgins. It's too late then to do anything about it. You know, when the time is right, is now. We don't need to wait until it's too late and then go to knocking like those five foolish virgins did. They knew what they needed to do. They were just going to do it later time. A lot of people today know what they need to do. They're going to do it later on. And the problem is, later on never comes. And when the time comes, the Lord calls them home, it's too late then. They've wasted all their opportunities. And they'll hear those words, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." What are you doing with what God's blessed you with? We need to be using it for His glory, for His honor. Father, love you and thank you. Thank you for loving us and blessing us. Thank you for another opportunity to gather in your house. Look into your word. See what your word tells us. And God, I thank you that your word is absolutely true. There is no error in it anywhere. And I thank you that you are faithful, that we can trust you, that we can stake our life on you and on your promises. And I thank you that you have proven to me personally over and over and over again of your faithfulness. Thank you for being faithful and letting us know that you will always be faithful, even to the end of the world. Thank you for that. Thank you for these that are here. Lord, we pray for each one that you would touch hearts. If there's one who's not prepared, not ready, Lord, it's not too late yet. I pray that as the Holy Spirit deals with that person, that they will respond and allow you to have complete control in their life today and for the rest of their life. Love you and thank you for all things in Christ's name and for His sake. We pray. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. Music's playing. If there's a need in your heart, God has spoken to you, if there's something you need to take care of, then this is an opportunity for you to take care of that. If you'll slip out and come forward, I'll be glad to pray with you. You don't need to confess anything to me. Confess it to God, but I'll pray with you, share scripture, help you any way I can. Anyway, anyone, quickly.